And I'll start reading in verse 23, Acts chapter 4. If you're using the Bible in the pew, it's page 813. Acts chapter 4, 23 to 31. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, stirred, not shaken. Now, I don't know how many of you are James Bond fans. A few hands there. You may look at me and say, oh, Bodville, please. James Bond, really? And you might question the wisdom of my parents, particularly my father, to have raised me on James Bond, given that he doesn't necessarily represent the values that we might find in this book or in this church. But that expression, shaken, not stirred, applies to his choice of beverage. But stirred, not shaken, applies to the Church of Jesus Christ. See, whenever I watched James Bond, there was, of course, I wanted to be like him. Of course, I wanted all the beautiful women to fall in love with me, and I was only 9. I wanted to be able to shoot the Beretta and the, what's the other PPK, Walzer PP? I wanted to be that guy because if I was that guy, the whole world would be safe. There would be no need to fear. And when I look at this passage, I don't think of James Bond. I think of God. Because the God we worship answers prayer. And so we have nothing, absolutely nothing to fear. It has nothing to do with a gun, has nothing to do with Her Majesty, does have to do with a sovereign. But in the book of Acts, we keep seeing over and over and over again, there's absolutely nothing to fear. Because we have a great God. And a great God that is not far away, not somehow on the rim of the universe, but he's continuing to establish his kingdom by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit through his witnesses. The King of Kings, Jesus, became a human being. We spent all last year looking at the book of Luke. We looked at the life of Jesus here on earth. And now we're looking at the life of Jesus, the work of Jesus, through his Spirit, through his witnesses, on planet Earth while he rules on high. Jesus is continuing to establish his kingdom by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit through his witnesses. That's what the book of Acts is about. So throughout the rest of this year, we're going to go through Acts so we can see what on earth is he doing. And we've spent a lot of time. We saw the apostles being persecuted. We saw them having to respond to threats that, hey, stop talking about Jesus. Yeah, we know you did a healing, but you need to stop. I need to stop now. And they're released, and so they go back to their people. Actually, literally, it just says to their own. And they reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So they were told, stop, stop, stop. Their response to that was, we can't. We can't stop talking about what we have seen and heard. Sorry. They threaten them a little bit more, and then they release them. They come back and they tell their people, the chief priests, everybody who's in power is threatening us. And their response is praise. How does that work? How does it work to get threatened by the powers that be who seem to hold your life in their hands, and your response is praise? I mean, I think it has everything to do with the one to whom you pray. Their response to this threat, to the release of questioning, is to pray. But they pray, as I said in our meeting, they pray differently than me. They pray differently than me. And likely, they pray a little differently than you do. Frequently, when we pray, it's through tears. It's filled with fear, and there's nothing wrong with praying like that. Any prayer gives God tremendous honor. Believe it or not, even when you're angry at him and come to him frustrated, you're honoring him because you're actually addressing the one person who can do something and who is ruling the universe. So don't worry about how you come. But I'm amazed by these guys because they gather together and they pray to God, and it says, they address him as Sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord. The word that it's used here is actually ends up in English with a very different meaning than it does in Greek. It's despotes. And when we think of a despot, we don't think of someone that we want to get to know. That's someone we want to hide from. But in the Greek language, it's not a negative term. It's someone who has absolute control. So I want to ask you again, to whom do you pray? Is the one to whom you pray the one who has absolute control? Or does it depend on the weather? Or does it depend on your upbringing? Does it depend on your friends? Does it depend on your bank account? Does it depend on your rest? Does it depend on your health? Does it depend on your wife or husband or children? To whom do you pray? Does he have all authority? If he doesn't, you end up praying like we frequently pray. Sort of a, let me toss it up, see if anybody catches it. I'll pray, but not sure if anything's going to happen. And if it does, whew, I was lucky. Or that sure worked out well. And it seems that God is just somewhere far away. But do you pray to the Sovereign? I mean, he's Lord of heaven and earth. And that's hard for us as Americans to comprehend. Because we don't look at our rulers or our leaders, we don't even call them rulers, or we don't look at our president as the sovereign. He's not a sovereign, he's elected. Okay, you can even kick out the leaders of the United States, or at a local level or the national level, you can get rid of them. See, the people are the sovereign. And that's dangerous for us, because sometimes we take that attitude to God. And we act like it actually depends on us, not him. But they address him as sovereign Lord. And I want to ask you, when you pray, do you address him with that in mind? You may call him Father. You may call him God. You may call him Almighty. There's many different names. You may call him Lord. Whatever you call him, is it informed by the reality that he rules over all? Is it? Because that's the most important thing. The one to whom you pray determines how you pray. It means everything. And so they address him as sovereign Lord. You made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them. See, he's the sovereign creator. The sovereign creator. And what's neat is that when you read through the whole Bible, you start seeing patterns. And this way of starting prayer, you made the heavens, and the earth, the sea, and everything in them, you find this little pattern in the Ten Commandments. You find it in the Psalms. You find Nehemiah, and if you want a fantastic prayer, it's the passage we're using in the mornings now as we pray. If you want a fantastic summary of God's dealing with the people of God throughout the Old Testament, Nehemiah chapter 9, you can't do any better than that. Just make a note. Read through Nehemiah chapter 9. If you ever need guidance, how should I pray? Nehemiah chapter 9 is a great place to be. And if you actually find that on the first round, good for you, because it's not usually the first book we read. But he's our sovereign creator. You made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. He is the God of creation. The God of creation. Imagine the magnitude of our universe. Richard Bitterkoffer and I were speaking this morning about how there's this YouTube video that starts sort of at our life, what we can see with our normal eyes, and then takes a magnification up. Have you seen this video that takes a telescope and takes it, I can't even remember what the factor is, but it takes it to the ends of the universe. So you see billions and billions of stars. And it comes back down to what we can see with our eyes, and using a microscope goes the same degrees to the smallest of the small, to some atomic particles. God did that. And you know how he did it? Without your help. And he did it without my help. He did it with a word. He spoke. And it came into being. Is that the one to whom you pray? Who rules over all, and with a word we have creation? We should feel just a little less important. And how appropriate when we pray to feel a little less important and realize the one to whom we pray is the one who not only rules, but he created the whole thing. What kind of power is necessary to create? What kind of wisdom is necessary to create the universe that we understand more and more of? What kind of joy is needed to create the things in our universe? Just the things that we're aware of. You see, how many of you love to go to the zoo? I love the zoo. I see these creatures, I think, come on, God, really? When I lived in Washington, D.C., I'd love to go to the botanical gardens. Because you'd go from one to the other, it's like, how do you come up with the diversity of the flora in our universe, in our world? And imagine the plants that are at the very bottom of the ocean. The vast, vast, vast majority no human eye has ever seen. Or the wildflowers that are at the very, very top that only come out for a couple weeks when the snow melts and before they die again. God's created all of them. Do you pray to him? Is that the one to whom you pray? The sovereign creator of all, who is wise enough, strong enough, and creative enough to handle anything that's going on in our lives. He is a great, great God. But he's not just a creator. He's a revealer. He's the great communicator. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. They're quoting from Psalm 2 about the rebellion of the people of God against God's anointed. But before you look at the specific, just take a second. The sovereign creator speaks not just creation, but he speaks revelation. He speaks of himself. He speaks of reality in a way that human beings can hear, can read. I don't know about you, but the nursery is really not my wheelhouse, okay? I love little kids. I love babies. But there's a little bit of a gap in communication. Have you ever noticed that? These 1, 2 months, 3 months, they don't get it. They do, and even if I was the perfect communicator, they still wouldn't get it because they have a limitation. I've got plenty of limitations with communication, and I'm only just a little older than them. God gets through to us. Yes, we're created in his image, but come on. What condescension and humility does the living God have that he would stoop and take our face in his hands and say, "Hi, Anishig, I'm your father. I love you." That's what he does. And he does it in a way that we can understand. Speaking our language, he uses our metaphors. What kind of God is this? Is this the God to whom you pray? The one who reveals himself joyfully? It's not like, "Oh, come on, would you just be quiet and listen to me? Stop being so distracted, just listen to me." He doesn't do that. Our God reveals himself and he speaks through people. He speaks through people. I've had friends ask me, "Why doesn't God just sort of fly overhead with angels, like a megaphone or some sort of broadcast system, and just talk to us? Wouldn't it be amazing if you're holding your phone, all of a sudden God starts talking?" You say, "Wow, that's a pretty great app." But he speaks through people when he speaks to people. That's who he is. He speaks through David. And he's singing a song. Why do the nations rage? Why do the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed. Our God reveals himself. He reveals that he's God, and there's just something about us human beings that's not always cooperative. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that you're not the most cooperative person? You've noticed I'm not the most cooperative person, I'm sure. Your family members, we're not the most cooperative. We rebel against God. We rebel against authority. And God is never surprised. Do you ever think sometimes that you got him? That you just surprised him with that one? "I didn't think I would do that, huh?" Like, no, he knew. And the fact that he lets me continue to exist, And he lets you continue to exist with our rebellion? Is that the one to whom you pray? The one who's revealing, I know it all. The one who reveals, I love you. See, and he's not just talking. He's actually involved in history. He's the one who rules not just creation, not just revelation, but he actually rules and is involved in history. In verse 27, we read, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles. They were gathered together and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. AD 31, 33, whichever the exact date was, God decided that Herod and Pilate, so you've got the Jewish leader, the Roman leader, you've got the Gentiles and the people of Israel, they gathered, they conspired together against Jesus. There's enough guilt to go around to everyone. I love how Jesus is described. Did you catch that? Your holy servant, Jesus. Just a sidebar. If you want to be like Jesus, let's go after the holy part. Let's go after the servant part. That works really well. The one you anointed, they did what your power and your will had decided beforehand should happen. Do you believe that? Do you believe that everything that happened to Jesus was exactly the way God intended? Every drop of blood, every beating, every curse, every drop of spit, everything, all the rejection, Judas's betrayal, everything was right on time, exactly as God intended it. It wasn't just the time he walked on water and, oh, praise God. It wasn't just the time when, wow, from the fish and the loaves, you get to feed 5,000. Wow, praise the Lord. God's amazing. God rules. Yes, God rules in the high times. God rules in the low times. And in the wisdom of God, in a way that we do well to humble ourselves before, the wisdom and power of God says he rules over all, and we are fully responsible for everything that we do. Did you get that? Don't get caught in the free will and God's sovereignty argument. It is a wonderful waste of time. Our job is to be responsible for what we do. And how he does it, I do not know. But God rules over all. And they both work. Don't put yourself, don't put sinful humanity above God and say, oh, God can't be involved in that. God can't. No, he can. Does that mean he's the inventor of evil? No, he's not. Well, Bob, that doesn't work. No, it doesn't work to this mind and to your little one either. He's God. He rules over all. And each one of these people who did exactly what God had decided ahead of time should happen are responsible. If that makes you mad, if that bothers you, humble yourself, please. See, do you pray to the sovereign of history? Or do you reduce him and say, God can't really answer that prayer because another human being's involved? Do you ever pray for somebody else knowing that they're going to have to make a decision about something? Will you trust God with that? Or will you say, well, I can't really pray about that because it's going to be up to my son whether he obeys me or not? Pray. Pray. Will you pray about the state of our country right now with all the tension? Oh, but there's sinful. Yes, there are sinful people and God is still God. Never exalt our sin and the consequences of our sin so high that it removes from God his authority. Our God rules over history. He's the sovereign of history. And if he's the sovereign in the death of his son, he is the sovereign in all things. So I want to just ask you, to whom do you pray? Do you pray to the sovereign creator, to the sovereign who communicates and reveals his character and reveals our character to us? Do you pray to the sovereign of history? Or is it someone less than that? And if you do pray to someone less than that, your prayers, you won't see them mirrored at all in the Bible. You just won't see it, and you're going to feel really out of touch. Let's take a quick look at their prayer. Starting in verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Let's just take a quick look at what they didn't pray for. They didn't pray for wisdom. They did not pray for guidance. They've just been yelled at. They've just been told that you better not talk about Jesus anymore. They did not ask God, well, God, could you show us how we can honor the rulers and still be obedient to you? Didn't ask for wisdom? No. They didn't also ask for protection. Uh-oh. Isn't that one of our top prayers? Oh, Lord, give us a safe trip. Oh, Lord, protect. Oh, Lord, protect. What's amazing is when you talk to people, believers, brothers and sisters, who are in parts of the world where they're being persecuted, they're not praying like I pray. They're not praying for protection. They're not praying for safety. They figure that's up to God. They're not praying for... Does that mean you shouldn't pray for healing, for protection? No. But I'm just saying, look at the scripture here. Nothing to fear. They're not praying for safety and protection. They're also not praying for judgment. You do that sometimes, don't you? Someone says something. Oh, Lord. I don't want to take revenge, but if you want to give a little bit, that would be just great. And what's difficult is when you look through the Old Testament, you find what are called the imprecatory Psalms, where you see the psalmist crying out, get them, give it to them, God. The world is unjust now, give it to them. But here, they're not praying for that. They're not praying for wisdom, they're not praying for protection, they're not praying for judgment. But notice what they do pray for. Would you consider their threat? Now, Lord, consider their threats. How does God answer that prayer? They're just saying, would you please pay attention, God? Would you please take note of what's going on? You heard that, right? We heard it. Would you just take note? It may be, Lord, take note. It's exactly what you said would happen. This is exactly what Jesus said. It might even be, Lord, did you hear their threats? Did you see how we responded? We didn't buckle under. Take note of their threats. Be aware. Would you give us power to be bold? Enable your servants, and again, this is a really appropriate word, if we're addressing the Lord, the sovereign, then it's appropriate that we would identify ourselves as servants. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. I think we could pray that prayer, can't we? Don't raise your hands. But I want you to think very concretely about the times you withdrew, you were too embarrassed, you were unwilling to talk about Jesus because you just wouldn't step out and take the risk. Go ahead, have that person's face right in front of you. And this is not to give you a guilt trip, but it's to make it really concrete. Do you see the person that you chose not to tell about Jesus because you were afraid of what they might think? Do you see those people? Maybe your mind works that you're seeing a list of names where you even made a luncheon appointment so you could talk to them about Jesus. But after the salad, you know, the lunch came and it was just so good. And then we started talking about the Bulldogs. And then after that, it was like, how am I going to bring this up now? And we just withdrew. If you pray to the sovereign creator, the one who reveals himself, the one who rules history, know that he can empower us to open our mouths. And here's the deal. He doesn't use megaphones or apps. He speaks through people. Finally, they asked for signs and wonders. They asked God to reveal himself, to show himself through things that are out of the ordinary. And this can make us a little uncomfortable because by definition, miracles are the things that don't go by the natural laws that God has set up. I mean, things go the way they go because God designed it that way. And every now and then, he interrupts it. He interrupts it with a healing. And you say, oh my goodness. He doesn't do it all the time, but he does it sometimes. He gives people insight that there is no way they should have. There's no way they can know certain things about me, and they come up to me and say, you know, I don't know if this is true, but I've been praying for you, and this keeps coming to mind. He does that. We looked at the first part of Acts. People just start speaking different languages. That doesn't happen every day. Can God do that? Do you believe he can interrupt the norm of daily life and show himself? Some of us don't. We don't. And there's even theological words for folks like us. We're cessationists. We don't believe this can happen anymore. Really? Well, the Bible's now been finished, so we can't expect anything like what's written there. It's written there for us. All we need to do is read it and understand it. Forgive me if you feel mocked by that. I don't intend to mock you, but I do, a little bit needling you. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he chooses to, he can interrupt our worlds. Would you please give him the chance? Would you please give him the chance to answer your prayers? Because at a very small level, daily there can be signs and wonders when God answers prayer. Because it wouldn't happen if you didn't pray about it. This is our God. And he's got, they're praying this, consider their threats, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They have one thing on their minds. They want people to know that Jesus Christ is a living God. They want people to know the good news. They're praying for evangelism. Just like our world, first century Jerusalem had the vast majority of people who did not believe in Jesus Christ. Will you pray for God to take notice of your situation? Would you pray for the power and to be bold? Would you pray that God would show up answering your prayers? One of the most powerful expressions of evangelism is asking someone how you can pray for them. Because when God answers it, there's no way out. They actually believe that God cares about them. Ask and then pray. There's a lot of people who need to know Jesus. So what I love about their prayer is that it was filled with scripture. You keep hearing me say, scripture-fed prayer. If you and I want to learn to pray, We've got to know our Bibles. We've got to read our Bibles. We've got to pray our Bibles back to God. Let it be filled with Scripture. Let it be filled with perspective that God's the one. He knows what's going on. He is here. He is everywhere. He knows what's going on, and things are working as He has planned. I love how their prayer is filled with a commitment to obey. You can't pray this prayer and not be willing to open up your mouth. You can't pray this prayer and not be ready to get persecuted. You can't pray this prayer and not engage people. I love it. See, we have nothing to fear because our sovereign answers prayer. Absolutely nothing to fear because our sovereign answers prayer. Would you please stand?